We'll have a look at the real price of milk in America.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a few minutes. But first, Congress is facing plenty of deadlines in the coming weeks, and one of them involves passing a new $500 billion farm bill. For months, the fight has been over cuts to the food stamp program funded through that bill, but there are also changes being considered on how the government helps prop up the price of milk, Marketplace's Queenie Kim reports.
There are about 50,000 milk farmers in the U.S. who decide independently how much milk they're going to make. And this, very simply put, makes the dairy market really volatile. If prices get too low,
the federal government becomes a buyer at the wholesale level, just like Pizza Hut.
Andy Novakovich is a professor at Cornell University.
Because they become this new competitor, it forces everybody else to get their prices to realign.
But some politicians feel that farmers should have more skin in the game. They want a program that acts like insurance. Mark Stevenson is with the University of Wisconsin.
And you'd make a decision about how much of my milk do I want to protect.
But if the price of the grain used to feed the cows goes up, it generally goes up for all farmers. And that could mean a huge payout by taxpayers. On the bright side, Stevenson says no matter which course Congress takes, milk prices should remain about the same. I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
In the biggest layoff since 2009, the retailer Macy's says it plans to let go 2,500 employees. This despite higher holiday sales and rising profits. Macy's says it's about improving efficiency. You may have met them since the Great Recession, college grads working retail cash registers or as baristas. More than a third of recent graduates are considered underemployed, meaning their jobs don't require degrees. But new research from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York suggests this is not a new phenomenon. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Nick Stagno graduated from Goucher College almost 3 years ago with a degree in computer science and communications.
And I was looking for jobs in like tech fields, office jobs, marketing, really kind of anything in that line of business. And it was proving super difficult.
So he's working part-time as a line cook at a tavern in Baltimore. It's a common tale since the Great Recession, but it was common for recent grads to have trouble finding work before then, too, according to a new report from the New York Fed, going back at least two decades. Even so, the bank's senior economist, Jason Abel, says the search for good jobs has grown harder.
What was interesting to us is that it started well before the Great Recession. We see that there's been an upturn in underemployment, starting with the 2001 recession.
Economists say starting out at lower pay can set workers back throughout their careers. But Nick Stagno found out he likes cooking. Even with the relatively low pay, he plans to stick with it. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.25% at the moment. Stock index futures in the U.S. are all up right now.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
If you ever have one of those mornings where the world seems to be falling apart, try reminding yourself that things have been worse. Maybe during the Dark Ages, things have been worse, but things have been worse. With that in mind, let's turn to Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff, who is famous for, among other things, studying 400 years of financial crises, including conditions now. Morning, Ken. Good to check in with you again.
Good morning.
So this economic recovery certainly feels like a long slog, but you're at the American Economic Association meeting saying that in the grand sweep of history, as economic meltdowns go, this recovery not the worst?
Well, it's no fun, that's for sure. But if you compare it to recoveries we'd had after World War II, where we had deep financial crises, or you compare it to dozens, even 100 big financial crises around the world over the last 150 years, it could have been worse.
So what do you think accounts for it? Was it dumb luck, or does policy get some of the credit for making this recovery, if you're right, not as bad as it could have been?
Well, I think policy definitely gets credit. The very proactive performance of the U.S. Federal Reserve, the fiscal stimulus that was put in early on, whatever you want to say about it. I don't think we did as much as we should have on writing down subprime mortgage debt. But there were some measures taken to try to ease up a bit on homeowners. And I think all of these things helped us do quite a bit better than Europe.
What was different there, do you think?
They got blindsided by this in the middle of what was a nation-building project, trying to take the different countries of Europe and make them more like the United States. And because of it, they just haven't been able to strike deals to move things forward. And if I had to put my finger on one thing, it would be that they haven't written down debts. If you look across the periphery countries, they're just in awful shape.
We'll get the official reading on unemployment from the government later this week. But when you look at standards of living in the United States, there's still so much work to do, despite the fact that maybe the recovery could have been worse.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think overlaying this financial crisis is a long-term trend rise in inequality. And I'm not trying to apologize for the slow recovery. I'm not trying to apologize for policy where it could have been better. But it isn't easy in the middle of these things to know what's going on. And of course, there's globalization and technology changes, which have also been hurting lower income workers, especially in countries like the United States.
Harvard economist Ken Rogoff, along with Carmen Reinhardt, wrote the book, This Time is Different, 8 Centuries of Financial Folly. Professor, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And there's a company called Unroll.me that helps people unsubscribe from companies that persistently keep sending emails. They've mined the data, ranked the results, and number one most banished from inboxes is, poignantly, 1-800-FLOWERS. Number three on the list, Pro-Flowers. What's with flowers? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.